بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. In the name of the Most High, the Most Merciful, the Most Compassionate, all praise be due to Him. And may His peace and blessings be showered on our beloved, noblest messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and upon his family and his companions, and upon all of those who follow him with righteousness until the last day. In Surah Al-Imran, Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تهتدون. الله سبحانه. Have taqwa of Allah, have consciousness of Allah to the extent that He is deserving of such. And do not die except that you are in a state of submission or that you are in a state of Islam. And hold tightly together to the rope of Allah and never be divided. And remember the favors of Allah upon you, that you were once enemies and Allah has placed love in your heart so that you become brothers, so that you become one brotherhood actually. And you were perched on the edge of a pit of hellfire and Allah saved you from it. Such that Allah has granted to you His signs so that you may be guided. And Allah speaks the truth. The Quran is full of verses like this one where Allah gives you examples of His signs. Where Allah gives you examples of His signs and asks you to reflect on them. He asks you to use your intellect, He asks you to use your mind, He asks you to use the bounty that gives us the ability to make decisions and to think, and He expects us to use it. He doesn't just expect us to use it in our day-to-day life and how we make decisions and how we're going to shop at the supermarket or which way we're going to take to work, but in the decisions involving the most divine, which is our being. And thinking about our religion. Our religion isn't something that has to be told to us that we take it for granted that this is how our fathers and our villagers and our ancestors did this, so we must do it that way. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds you that you think, that Allah gives you signs so that you think, and that you engage your intellect as an act of spirituality and as an act of becoming closer to Allah. And then all such verse in Surah Al-Zumar where Allah says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ اللَّهُ يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنفُسُ حِينَ مَوْتِهَا وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتُ وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَى أَجَلٍ مُّسَمًّى إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِّقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah takes the souls of the human beings at the time of their death and during the sleep of those that are not dead. And He retains those against which He has decreed death and sends back the others until appointed time. In that surely are signs for people who reflect. And subhanAllah, some of Allah's reflections are very deep and very moving and very thought-provoking. I'm going to reread this one briefly in English, that Allah says that your souls at the time of His death does He take, and then during your sleep He takes the souls of those who are not dead and He returns those that will continue to live until an appointed time and in this our time for those who reflect. Now, subhanAllah, the idea of what happens to your soul when you die, what happens to your soul when you sleep, these are all very profound ideas, and Allah wants you to think about them. This is not something that you should be afraid of or something that we should shy away from. Allah is engaging us and telling us, think about this. Think about how when you go to sleep at night, If it's 1 or 2 in the morning, you may be exhausted after a long day's work, barely able to hold your head up, barely able to sit up, barely able to walk, and you lay your head down and you sleep. Allah says, what do you think happens to your soul? That you wake up the next morning full of energy and full of life, as if you've been recharged, as if you've been plugged into a wall, and you wake up with this energy that you didn't deserve. You didn't do anything in the night, you didn't consume food, you didn't drink any protein shakes, you didn't do anything. In fact, you did nothing. You did the opposite of anything. You closed your eyes and you slept. And when you woke up, by the grace of Allah, you have energy so that you can go out and be productive and fulfill the duties of your day. And Allah tells you to think about this. Think about what happens to your soul when you sleep. Verily, you need to set aside for those who reflect. In Surah Yunus, Allah says, قال الذي جعل الشمس ضياء والقمر نورا وقدر منازل لتعلموا عدد السنين والحساب ما خلق الله ذلك إلا بالحق يفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون. It is He who made the sun radiate a brilliant light and the moon reflect a luster, and ordained its stages that you may know the number of years and the measure of time. Allah has not created this except for by truth, and He details these signs for people who have knowledge. Allah explained that not only has He created the sun and the moon, but He's created them in such a way that you can measure time by the moon. You can measure time in years. And He does so, so that you can measure time and reflect as the years go by in our life and as things change. And He has only decreed this except for by truth. There is truth in this, and Allah gives these signs for us, again, to reflect. Another verse, Surah Yunus, Allah says, وَالنَّهَارَ مُبْصِرًا إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ. He has made signs for you that He is the one who has made for you the night that you may rest therein and the day that you may see in brightness. Surely there are signs for those who hear. Again, it's a very simple metaphor about describing the night and the day and how the day He gives you so that you can see and that you can be productive and you can go out and you can do your work and your dream. And in this time for those who hear, for those who listen. Again, Allah is engaging us. He's telling us, look, I have given you signs. Think about them. Listen to them. Reflect on them. Do not be blind followers who take their deen for granted and who don't reflect on my signs and my verses. In Surah An-Nahl, a similar verse, Allah says, after all, the name of Shaitan Rajim. وَصَفَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَالنُّجُومُ مُسَخَّرَاتٌ بِأَمْرِهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. And He has placed into service for you the night and the day and the sun and the moon, and the stars have been placed into service by His command. Surely in that are signs for people who use their reason. And again, most of us probably have some limited knowledge on the way the stars and the sun and the moon work and how they turn and how the stars are placed in very specific locations such that we can be used to navigate ships in the night, or to navigate at any time you can look up in the sky and see where you are or where you're trying to go. And Allah has placed these perfectly for us and created them for us to use. And He wants us to reflect on His creation. Clearly are there signs for those people who use their reason. Again, Allah is emphasizing that we use our reason. As human beings, He did not create us with the capacity so that we can ignore our reason, or so that we can ignore our minds, or so that we can ignore the importance of thought. Similarly, in Surah Al-Mum, Allah says, "O Nabi Shaitan Rajim, ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون." And in his signs is that he created pairs for you, partners for you from amongst yourselves. And from amongst yourselves in Arabic is min anfusikum. From anfusikum is the plural of nafs. From your nafs he actually has created for you a pair. So that you can find tranquility there. And he put a lot of mercy between you, and surely these are signs for people who reflect. And for those of us who have had the good fortune of being able to find our parents, you think about this idea that Allah does place His love and mercy in your heart such that you have compassion and you have very special and unique feelings to this person who is your partner. You know, sometimes those feelings are good, sometimes they're not, but they hold a very special place in your heart such that you can see that Allah has, in fact, placed something between those two hearts such that there's a unique bond. And in that is a sign for those who reflect. Again, reflection. There is no shortage of verses in the Quran that end in that. Here are signs for those who reflect. Here are signs for those who think. Here are signs for those who ponder. Here are signs for those who have knowledge. So it is important that we listen to these verses and act upon them and reflect upon them and follow Allah's encouragement to use our minds. Similarly, in Surah Al-Zum, Allah says, "From the Shaitan regime, ومن آياته خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم إن في ذلك لآيات للعالمين." And among the signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth and the diversity of your tongue, of your tongues and your colors. And that surely are signs for those who have knowledge. And in just looking around us in this masjid, alhamdulillah, it's beautiful to see the variation of the languages and the colors and the people that are represented here, the languages that are spoken among the people that are represented here. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle from Allah that two human beings who are genetically very similar, there's nothing different about my tongue than my brother's tongue and the way that they work. But subhanAllah, because Allah created us this way, we speak in different languages. We speak in languages that some of us don't understand. You go somewhere where you don't speak the language and you might as well have your hands over your ears because you're not in how you're speaking that. And Allah is saying, think about that. Think about how I've created all of you as one human race, but I have changed the way you look and your colors and your languages. Clearly, and there's our signs for those who hear. For also in Surah Al-Rum, Allah says, "Allahu Akbar, my Shaitan regime. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِغَاؤُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ." And among his signs is your sleep by the night and by the day, and your quest for his bounties. In that surely are signs for people who hear. Allah is reminding us that this idea of sleeping, people sleep by day, people sleep by night, and the fact that we always go out and search for Allah's bounties. Think about that, and that there are signs for those who hear. There are so many examples. I mean, I picked the few that I thought that I would have time to do. There's so many examples of the magnificence of Allah's creation and the fact that He wants you to think about that, reflect on that, consider it. Also, Surah Al-Rum, I'd like to share just a few more. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا وينزل من السماء ماء فيحيي به الأرض بعد موتها
إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ.
And one of the signs that he shows you the lightning as a source of fear and a source of hope. And he sends down water from the sky and gives life to the earth after its death. In that surely are signs for people with understanding. SubhanAllah, the lightning that causes children to cry, causes people to shake when they hear it, causes people to jolt out of fear, out of the sound of the thunder that follows the lightning. And what follows that is that Allah pours water down onto the earth and brings life to it when it is dead. You see a field in the summertime that hasn't been rained on in some time. It might be yellow, it might be brown, it might be completely dry. And Allah will pour rain down upon it, and you may very well wake up the next day or 2 days later, see green, see sprouts, see grass growing. And Allah says, think about this. This is a sign for you. You see it. It's around you. Think about it. These are signs for people with understanding. So it's exactly what Allah says.
وَسَخَّرَ لَكُم مَّا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِّنْهُ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِّقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ.
And He has provided for you whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. All this is from Him. In that, surely are signs for people who reflect. He's making an example of everything around you. He's making an example of everything in the heavens and in the earth. That He has created these for us. And that in this are signs for those who reflect. Looking out the window of your home, of your office, of the masjid, seeing trees, seeing grass, seeing the sun. These are all signs that Allah has created for you and He wants us to reflect on them. They're not created for no purpose. They're very much calculated. And in that calculation is the idea that as human beings, we can learn from seeing Allah's creation. And the way to learn from seeing Allah's creation is by reflecting on it. And the difference between reflection and the difference between a non-reflective person is like the difference between somebody who's alive and somebody who's dead. Somebody who can actually see and think and take in is the difference between, you know, somebody who is a blind sheep and somebody who can actually make a difference and who can actually make a change in the dunya. Reflections in the Quran are a sign for us to become closer to Allah. It's a tool that Allah has given us to become closer to Him. It's a tool that Allah has given us to gain understanding in our deens, to gain understanding in our dunya, to see how things work, to learn how things work. And if you find that as Muslims, we need to embrace, we need to learn about what's going on around us by reflecting and thinking, and taking advantage of that thought. Thinking and reflection, as we see from these verses and there are countless others, it's at the core of our deen. It's at the core of our deen that Muslims reflect and think and use their intellect. So why don't? That's my next question. As Muslims, why don't? If thinking is at the heart of our deen, why do we find that in our time where we live, it is so uncommon that we have independent Islamic thought, that Muslims don't think, they don't write, they don't share, they don't create as Allah has intended us to. There were times where Islam had seen better days and more glorious times, and we did see much more of that. But in this day and age, this is one of the tenets of our deen that unfortunately has been lost. And it has been lost to the detriment of the Ummah, to the detriment of Islam. When people see Islam today, they see an outdated religion. People from non-Muslims who see Muslims, they often say, you know, these people are following things that happened 1400 years ago. They don't think about, you know, what's happening today. They don't reflect on what's happening today. They're not trying to come up with common solutions for the problems. They're not using their mind. They're not using their Quran. And sadly, this is true. Sadly, for many of us, Islam has become an outdated theology that people have ceased to use to benefit us in our time. The fact that that the main four schools of thought that we follow today have been around for so many hundreds of years, and that we don't have modern scholars to say the Kremlin, America has some nuances. There's things that we need to understand about our situation, and we need to think about the situation so that we can be relevant to our society, so that we can go to our brothers, and we can go to our neighbors, and we can go to our communities, and say, you know, Islam requires us to think about this. This is how we think about these things. I'd like to share these ideas with you. And this is what Allah has commanded us. This is not something that we should be afraid of. This is not something that we should have qualms about. There's too many verses in the Quran that ask us to reflect and to think for us not to think. There's too many verses in the Quran that ask us to use our intellect and to think for us to ignore our intellect and be blind followers. The Quran is a universal book for all times and for all people, and that is a fact, and that is something that the Prophet has taught us, and that's a fact that we embrace. However, because it's a universal book for all days and all times and all places, it does not mean that somebody reading the Quran in Los Angeles may or may not have a different interpretation of someone reading the Quran in Mecca or Saudi Arabia. I mean, there's places that the Muslims live where it's unlawful for a female to drive an automobile. And alhamdulillah, that's not the situation here. There may be wisdom in that for them, and we're not going to judge and tell them that they are, you know, not following the deen. There may be wisdom in different thinking in different areas and in different times, but there is not one thinking for all times and for all places. Absolutely not. And Allah makes that clear. You need to think. By thinking and using our thought and using our intellect, Allah is encouraging diversity in our thought. No two people think the same. Thought changes depending on where you are. Thought changes depending on what country you are in. Thought changes depending on what decade you're in, what century you're in. And Allah knows that. Allah knows that all things. When He tells you to think, He knows that me and you are going to think differently about something than somebody who was in Mecca 1400 years ago. He knows that. Allah knows the development of societies and the development of thought better than we do. So when Allah encourages you to think, you don't say, oh no, I'm not going to think, no, I don't want to change from the ways of what my father taught me about Imam Shafi'i or Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. When the reality is, at the time of those Imams, they were teachers of each other. In fact, Imam Shafi'i was a teacher of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. They lived at the same time, they learned from each other, and we have two schools of thought that we use today based on two individuals that learned from one another. And using that to think about where we are today, we don't want to deviate from what Imam Shafi'i said, if you call yourself a Shafi'i, 1400 years ago or 1000 years ago, when in fact he deviated from his teacher who lived in the same time. And he did so because Allah tells us to think. To think and to use our mind and to use our intellect, and that will create divergence. And as long as your heart is pure and your intention is clean, and when you think, Allah inshallah will guide you. And He will guide you, and He will guide you because that's what He ordered you to do. You have to have faith in Allah. If you're going to have faith in Allah, then you have to have faith that when you follow His commandments, then He will guide you to the right path. You cannot be afraid of following Allah's commandments because you're afraid that you may make a mistake. That's not the way that we've been raised as Muslims. Unfortunately, as I mentioned, our community of Muslims in the world, over a quarter of the world's population, have come into a situation that is less than great in terms of our situation in the living. In terms of our numbers are not reflected in our lot. Our numbers are not reflective of where we are as a community of Muslims. You would think that if a quarter of the population were Muslims and we were all brothers, then there would be some way that we would get together and try to improve our situation, be able to help our brothers, whether it's in Palestine or Iraq or Afghanistan or in the United States or in Los Angeles or in downtown. People who have the same ideology, if they're that great in number, then you would expect that we could alleviate issues such as homelessness and poverty and domestic violence and child abuse and these things. But the reality is that we do not, because unfortunately, we have, as a community, many of the communities of Muslims have become more sheikh than leaders. We will follow what the Imam says or what the Sheikh says or what they believe is the truth, because that's what the fathers, the forefathers from wherever they were from, have taught them. However, the reality is if things need to change, then we need to change. If things need to change, then we need to change, and we change by thinking first. Change starts here, and then it follows that you act on that change. There's a famous hadith that I'm sure all of you are aware of, where the Prophet for them said that if you see something that needs to be changed, you change it. You change it with your hand. If you cannot change it with your hand, then you change it with your tongue by speaking out against it and trying to change it with your tongue. And if you cannot change it with your tongue, then you change it in your heart, or at least you hate it in your heart, and that is the lowest form of being out. And the idea that you hate something in your heart means that your heart is telling you that it is wrong. That you at least acknowledge in your heart that it is wrong. And that requires thinking. You think about something, you see it, you realize that it is wrong. You change it if you can, but at least keep that heart pure and realize and understand that that's something that is wrong. And if we're going to make a change, then we need to think and act. The first step is thinking, and the second step is action. May Allah grant us knowledge and understanding and bring us closer to Him. May Allah protect us from committing injustice in the name of Islam. May Allah engage our minds in thinking and reflection to help us understand that being in the world around us. May Allah increase us in intellect and increase us in reflection and guide us to the straight path. May Allah make our intentions pure in using our thought and reflecting and being able to make ourselves better, to make our communities better, to make our families better. Next share a hadith, the 40th hadith of Nawawi, hadith number 27, where a man came to the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him. And before he spoke, the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him, told the man, "You have come to ask me about righteousness." And the man said, "Yes, I do." And the Prophet, peace be upon him, told him, "Consult your heart. Righteousness is that about which the soul feels tranquil and the heart feels tranquil. And wrongdoing is that which wavers in the soul and wavers in the heart, even though people again and again have given you their legal opinion." So when this man came to the Prophet and asked him about righteousness, the Prophet told him that righteousness is here. Righteousness is in your heart. Find it in your heart. Even if people have given you opinions to the contrary, again and again. And this goes back to the idea of, as individuals, the importance of thinking and the importance of thought, the importance of following what you know is right in your heart. There may be people that give legal opinions that are absolutely wrong, and you need to realize that simply by this concept of istafti' qalbak, seek your fatwa, seek it in your heart. Don't seek it from others. And what comes to mind from this hadith is the frequency by which you see Muslims committing what most of us feel is wrong in our heart, but they justify it with Islam. For example, there are Muslims who can condone family violence based on the Quran, where they say, "You know, Allah has given me the permission to be my spouse." Although earlier in the verses that we reviewed, Allah talked about how He placed love and tranquility in your hearts and binded you together and placed that special bond. So that in your heart, if you're going to follow your heart, you should feel that there's something wrong with being physical with somebody who you have a special bond with, or someone you love. So if someone came to you and said, "You know, the fact of it is, you can hit your wife. Or you can kill an innocent civilian in the name of Islam, whether it's on a bus, or whether it's by one of the building, or whether, however it is, somebody gave somebody a fatwa that this is okay, and this is why it's okay." And the Prophet ﷺ told the companion that righteousness is in your heart, and you need to seek the truth in your heart. And it's a very simple concept. Most of what we need to know is here, Allah has given us what is called the fitrah. Fitrah is the natural way of the dunya and of the human being. And He's given you this natural way so that you know what to do. We have this feeling of consciousness in our heart, or this feeling of a conscience, that you know what is right and wrong, you know what you should and shouldn't do, You may try to justify it to yourself one way or another, but if you want to be honest with yourself, and if you want to be honest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can speak that back in your heart. You know when you should and shouldn't do something. Something is very simple, something is maybe more complicated, but at the end of the day, if you speak that guidance in your heart, Allah will tell you, or the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that even if they give you again and again legal opinions, speak the fatwa in your heart. This idea of fitna. This idea that not only does the earth turn and the sun lights and warms and the rain gives life, this is all part of the fitra of Allah's creation, that everything submits to Allah, just as we are supposed to submit to Allah, we're supposed to submit to His will. And if you do truly submit to the will of Allah, then that fitra is consistent with what is in your heart. And you don't need to go far to be able to find out right and wrong. Allah tells you, use your intellect, use your mind, use your heart. Seek your answers in the Quran, absolutely. The Quran is an absolute test that is for all people in all time, and it does have all of the answers. If those who seek the answers want to find the answers, open the book. But if your answers are more specific than you can find on a page, Allah tells you, use your mind. I give you your mind, I give you your intellect, think, seek the fatwa in your heart, know what is right and what is wrong, and act upon it. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفره اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وقنا على النار اللهم اهدنا واهدنا واهدنا من اهتدى اللهم ثبت الايمان في قلوبنا واجعلنا الى الفتح واجعلنا من المؤمنين واهدنا الى الصراط المستقيم وتوفنا على الاسلام وكلنا جميعا في الفردوس برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين Allah, please forgive us, please be kind to me, please guide us, please usher us into paradise, please bless us and bless our families and bless our communities, guide us to the straight path and give us knowledge and give us intellect and allow us to use that knowledge for your good. Well, so long.